Thank you, Tommy. There's some of the folks out there were hoping you're going to stay up here to preach, I do believe. another day. Young men have some outlines of our lesson. If you guys would pass those out at this time, you don't have to do this. There's not going to be a test on it, but sometimes it's nice to have a few notes, so you'll have that opportunity if you desire. Of course, there's some pencils in the pew in front of you, or a pen in your pocket, possibly, if you wish to take a few notes. Yesterday, we were blessed to be able to give, as mentioned, through the Thanks for Giving program. I'm always privileged to participate in it. I've kiddingly but half-seriously told Ann I would pay for the privilege of manning the prayer table. It is a blessing to be able to pray with people when they come through. So there's Ann down there. She knows that I've mentioned that, and she hasn't asked for payment yet, but she might one day. It was a great privilege to be able to pray with people and to know that some people said, you know, I just want a moment of prayer. And that was a blessing. But so many gave coats. So many were given food baskets for Thanksgiving Day. Thank you for your participation. Acts chapter 20 tells us it's more blessed to give than receive. And I believe that's right. Jesus teaches us that. It is indeed more blessed to give than to receive. Thursday, most of us are going to sit down to some turkey and some stuffing and some cranberry sauce and maybe some yams and a few other goodies that are traditional Thanksgiving meal goodies. And of course, a little bit of pecan pie for dessert and pumpkin pie for dessert doesn't hurt either. Thanksgiving is one of the least commercialized of our holidays. Have you noticed that? I think that's such a blessing. So many of our holidays are so commercialized anymore, and Thanksgiving is to some degree, but much less than the other days. It truly is a day that we get together with family and friends and reflect on our blessings and give God thanks for those blessings. And this morning I'd like to share a lesson that will help us in cultivating that attitude of our heart as we look forward to that special holiday. Of course, we dare not limit our Thanksgiving time with God to one day a year. We might need to limit our meal of Thanksgiving to one day a year, but I don't want to limit our giving of thanks to one day a year. I don't know about you. Bottom line is, we're not self-made men and women. We're God-blessed men and women. We've also been blessed by others. We stand on shoulders of others who've helped us through life. Your parents, your teachers, public servants, the soldiers in the battlefield who've kept us free. We owe a debt to those men and women who've gone before us, on whose shoulders we stand because of their faithfulness and their concern for us. We're going to use a metaphor today of cultivation, of gardening. When we think about Thanksgiving, we're going to be developing a gardening, a heart of Thanksgiving. And I have to confess, I am not the world's best gardener. We have a few great gardeners in this congregation, and I will be the first to admit that my sister got all the gardening genes, and I do not have a green thumb. The only time I have a green thumb is when I accidentally hit it with a hammer. So I am not the gardening expert. I want you to know that. But I've learned a couple things about gardening. And number one is, gardening takes patience. Have you noticed that? It takes patience. It takes some time to develop a garden. You don't put the seeds in the ground and then, you know, come back just 2 days later and say, hey, how come the plants haven't sprouted? It doesn't work that way. I know our young children, sometimes they have the little seeds in school, you know, those little tiny little cups, and they put a seed in the dirt, and they want to dig it up after a week because it hasn't sprouted yet. Well, we've got to be patient, don't we? And Thanksgiving and developing a heart of Thanksgiving is a process, and it does take patience. Gardening also takes cultivation. You got to work at it. You got to water. Sometimes you got to fertilize. Sometimes you got to weed, all that kind of thing. When we moved into the house over here, someone had left a bird of paradise plant in a pot, and it was too full. It was root bound, and we decided it needed to live in that pot no longer. So we took it out and we divided it in two. So we have a bird of paradise in the front yard and a bird of paradise in the backyard, and we have been waiting for them to bloom. We have been waiting patiently because we know that gardening takes time. And we have been watering, and we've been throwing Miracle-Gro on it, and we've been watering some more. And the bird has bloomed last week. So that's my report of the day. If you're patient and if you cultivate, good things happen. And the same is true with our spirit of Thanksgiving. So let's turn to gardening of the heart this morning and think about how we garden our heart to a thankful heart of Thanksgiving. Number one, cultivating a spirit of Thanksgiving takes patience, just like cultivating a garden. You don't learn to be thankful overnight. You remember when your kids were little and you tried to teach them to say please and thank you? You know, the magic words that open the door for everything. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Did your kids get it the first time you tried? Probably not. Second time? No. Maybe the 10th or 12th or 1600th time? Yes. You had to be patient with them, even just to get them to say the words please and thank you, much less actually have an attitude of thanksgiving in their heart. We sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. I need to count them regularly and often. Not just on Thanksgiving Day, but stop and realize I am blessed. Secondly, Thanksgiving, just like gardening, takes cultivation. It's not automatic. It doesn't happen automatically. You actually have to go through some processes. Gardens don't just spring up automatically. Now, California is pretty good about things like that, but a little cultivation helps things along. It's not natural to be thankful. We have to cultivate the practice, the habit of thanksgiving. We have to fertilize some positive thoughts, such as Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Whatever is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, think or dwell on those things. And then we plant thanksgiving seeds in our hearts from the Word of God. Scripture tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. We'll unpack that a little bit later. We also read from Jesus, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. The evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in him. Our words come from our hearts, and our thanksgiving comes from our heart. It takes cultivation of that habit of thanksgiving. So water your thankfulness regularly with water of life, and weed out those things that tend to choke out our thanksgiving. Things such as greed and selfishness. Anything that will kill the seedlings of thanksgiving of our heart. But when we do that, we will reap a spirit of joy. So the thankful heart is a happy heart. Have you noticed that? I've got this glass over here, and yes, sometimes I do need a sip of water, but you notice how much water is in this glass? It's half full. You've seen this illustration before, haven't you? Our lives are like this glass of water. It's half full. Very seldom do we have everything we'd like or desire. It's doing good if we get everything we really need, right? So half of this glass is empty. And I can focus on the empty half and say, well, I only got a half a glass of water. Or I can focus on the blessing that I do have. I've got a half a glass of water. And if my throat gets dry, I can use that this morning because I've already used the illustration. Cultivate the garden of your heart. But why is thanksgiving so beneficial? Well, it's commanded by God to start with. So if it's commanded by God, you know God commands things for our benefit. Amen? God is not capricious. He's sitting up there and said, well, I want Mark to be thankful just because. God knows that thanksgiving is going to bless me. A spirit of thanksgiving will bless me. We quickly referenced a passage I'd like to unpack a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice the Apostle Paul did not say, give thanks to you because God suggests it's a good idea. Give thanks because this is God's will for you. And remember, God commands things that are going to bless us. The point is, even when problems are raining down in our life, the peace of God can reign within us when we stop and count some blessings. We've had losses in life. We've had pains in life. We've had disappointments in life. Life is not perfect. Yet in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of struggles, God has blessed me. And God has seen to my needs. Maybe you've heard about the elder back in Nebraska where I used to live. You know, that's tornado country back there. And we have basements for a reason, not just for storage. They're storm shelters too. And the church service was going on, and the storm was getting pretty bad, and the tornado sirens came up, and the deacon said, let's dismiss the service, let's go downstairs, it's safer. So everybody got all the pews and went downstairs to the church basement, because that was the place of safety. And it was time for the elder to get up and lead a prayer. And this was an elder who was always optimistic and upbeat and just forward-thinking and thankful, and everybody was going to go, what in the world is he going to pray about today? And right then the lights went out. And the thunder clapped, and the tornado sirens were continuing. And he just said, oh, Lord, I'm thankful it's not always like this in Nebraska. You see, the sun does shine there sometimes. And that's the way it is in our lives. The sun will shine on certain days, but it doesn't shine every day. There are days of storms. There are days of danger. There are days that we need to seek shelter. And sometimes we just have to say, be thankful in all circumstances does not mean be thankful for all circumstances, but in every circumstance of life, recognize there are still some blessings in the midst of our problems that we're dealing with. Secondly, thankfulness makes us a joyful life. We all have problems and we all have blessings, like the half full, half empty glass, right? Our choice of thankfulness brings us much more joy and peace than a decision that I'm just going to grump about what I don't have. Thirdly, thankfulness makes us attractive to others. Have you noticed that? If you're grateful, if you're thankful in your heart, have you noticed people kind of gravitate toward that? They like that? If you're an old grump and just complaining all the time about what you didn't get and how life's treated you unfair, have you noticed how many people flock to you because you said that? All right, you got the picture. Thankfulness makes us attractive to others. It says that misery loves company, but I don't think that that's really totally true. A pity party is usually not much of a party, and it's often attended by only one. And draw a special little pity from others. So what God commands from us is good for us. Thanksgiving makes us attractive to others. It gives us some joy. It is commanded by God. Now, I'm going to ask Denzel to come up here and help me out here. Denzel, would you take something from me? This pocket's getting a little overburdened. I got $2 in there. There's one for you today. Have a good day. Enjoy. You're all done. You can go back. He didn't have to do anything except come up and get embarrassed for that dollar, right? You know? You're going to really enjoy that dollar too, right? But you know what? And I pulled that out of my pocket. He may have noticed that I had another one sitting there too that he didn't get. Well, why didn't he get both? Well, I'm Scottish, that's one reason. But the other reason is because I wanted to make a lesson here. You see, life does hand us blessings, doesn't it? But we don't always get everything that we see. Or maybe even everything we desire. Now, Denzel's a good-hearted man, so he wouldn't do this. But, you know, some of us would look at that and go, hey, Mark didn't give him both bucks, you know? Mark should have given him the other dollar. But the whole idea of life is life doesn't always give us everything we put our eyes on that we think we'd like. Life gives us what we need. God gives us what we need. Thank you, Denzel, for letting me embarrass you just a little. You're a good-hearted young man. I appreciate you. So how do we cultivate this spirit of thanksgiving? I want you to realize that cultivating a spirit of thanksgiving is a choice we make. We choose to be thankful or grumpy and complain about what we don't have. We choose to look at half full or half empty, right? God can only command thankfulness from us if we had a legitimate choice to choose thankfulness. Have you thought of it that way? You see, God cannot command for me to be a certain height, tall or short, certain hair color, that's all fixed, right? I can't change that. Oh, maybe I might get rid of some of the gray, but, you know, the point is basically our hair color is given. My height is given. I don't change those things. But God has chosen to demand from us a spirit of thanksgiving, to call us to be thankful people. That tells me that thankfulness is a choice I can make. It's not predetermined. It's not that I have to depend on my circumstances in order to be thankful. Have you noticed that? And maybe you've noticed sometimes people who seem to have the least are thankful for the most. And we kind of go, what's going on here? And then we begin to realize their hearts are right. And they're trying to be thankful to God for the blessings they do have. What I'm saying is we can make the choice to be thankful even when our circumstances stink. Again, we're not thankful for all of our circumstances, but we can be thankful in all circumstances. Amen? See the difference? It's not that we're thankful for tornadoes or smoke and fires in California. It's not we're thankful for those things. But we have blessings even in the midst of those things. And that's what Paul is trying to remind us of in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Not necessarily for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. Number two, we cultivate thanksgiving by counting our blessings and not just our troubles. Counting our blessings and not just our troubles. See, we got two lists going on in our minds all the time, don't we? Or think of it, one piece of paper on one side and the other side, you turn it over, one side's blessings, one side's problems. Do we just concentrate on all the problems of life, or do we also look at the blessing side of life? You see, when we count what we usually take for granted, we'll be spiritually blessed. Do you wish for a better car than the one you got? It's not wrong to wish for it. But thank God for the one you have. If you got a car. You wish for a nicer house? Maybe. Thank God for the one you have. Thank God for the one you have. A roof over your head, that's a blessing. You wish for steak and lobster? Maybe. It's getting close to noon. Many of you are wishing right now. But you know what? Some folks would love to have beans and cornbread if they had a full stomach. You wish for better health? Not a bad thing to wish for. But you know what? There are people in the hospital who love to trade places with you today because you're well enough to be in church. Next point is important. To cultivate thanksgiving in our hearts, we need to express it to someone. We need to say, I am thankful for. We need to thank people. We need to appreciate people. Thanksgiving is different from just being glad to get it. Are you glad to have a roof over your head? Yeah. You glad to have a car to drive? Yep. Glad to have food to eat? Yeah. That's not the question of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving recognizes we are grateful to someone for our blessings. James chapter 1 tells us every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. God is the ultimate source of our blessings, amen? But people have also blessed us. And a spirit of thanksgiving is saying, Lord, I am grateful to someone for what they have done for me, and I'm grateful to you for what you are doing for me. We're not self-made, we're God-blessed people. We are warmed by fires we didn't kindle. We live in houses we didn't build. We didn't burn either, thankfully. We travel on roads we didn't build. All of that is a way of saying it's not all about what we have done. We're not self-made. We're God-blessed people. So thank someone for your blessings, and you'll see the spirit of thanksgiving rising in your heart. Because we stand on the shoulders of others who have gone before us. Number four, we cultivate spirit of thanksgiving when we pray our thanksgiving. And that's part of expressing it to God, isn't it? We express it to other people, but we express it to God. Thanksgiving is an essential part of prayer, along with praise and petition. Many of us pray before meals. It was an example of Jesus. Your sandwich is ultimately from God. Even if Burger King put it together, it's ultimately from God, right? Whether you pray silently or aloud, pray before you eat, just as a reminder that your blessings come from the Lord. In your morning or evening prayers, thank God for some blessings that you know He has sent you in your life. Even if the cup is not all the way full, it's half full, thank God for the blessings you've got. Paul wrote to the Colossians, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Even if everything is not the way you'd like it to be, praise God, everything is not the bad as it could be. God is blessed. And if we're talking about praying, we don't want to stop praying. In fact, Paul says it this way, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, right before 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, comes this verse. Pray without ceasing is what the King James tells us. NIV says pray continually. I don't think that means that you're constantly saying a prayer to God. Most of us have other things to do besides pray. But yet we're still going to let prayer be an important part and a regular part of our lives. I don't think Paul's commanding here a 24-hour prayer session any more than a 24-hour sermon, aren't you glad to know? But what he is commanding is that we continually pray to God. We don't get out of the habit of praying. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. I think that adds to the list pretty well, doesn't it? praise God with your thanksgiving. Thank people for what they've done for you. Thank someone, because that gratitude is not just being thankful for something that you got, it's thankful to someone that you have it. See, gratitude really is saying, I'm not self-made, I'm God-blessed and people-blessed. Number five, or last slide here. Each of us has a garden of thoughts in our minds. Kind of a conclusion. We've got that garden of thoughts, and God wants to bless us to sow healthy seeds of thanksgiving in our hearts. And He will bless us as we are thankful to Him. So let's use this time of thanksgiving for what it's intended for, to give thanks for our blessings. Oh, I know we don't have to limit it to one day a year. But when this day comes, shouldn't it be a day when we celebrate that spirit of thanksgiving? Psalm 136, I'm just going to read the first three verses. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love or mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. If I read the whole psalm, you would know it as the responsive reading, where the leader says the first part and the congregation says, His love endures forever. Or in some translations, His mercy endures forever. God asks nothing of us, but will bless us. And He blesses us through His enduring love. Aren't you glad God's love never ends? It never goes out. The fire of God's love never ends. It doesn't go out. Even when the Lord says we're going to have troubles and trials in life, and says for us to pick up our cross and follow Him, it's for our best interest, because God still endures in His love toward us. And God wants you to be in relationship with Him. He wants you to know you and know, be known by you. But God wants you to choose Him. God is too kind to force you to submit to Him. But He invites you to submit to Him. He wants to make it your choice, because true thanksgiving is a matter of a choice of a heart. Remember that, to be thankful? And true submission to God is a choice of our hearts to surrender ourselves to the Lord. In a moment, we're going to sing the song of encouragement, song of invitation, if you will. If you have a need for prayers for the body of Christ that you want to bring before the congregation as a whole, you can respond and we'll pray together for that need. If you're ready to be baptized to the Lord, become a disciple of Jesus Christ, be immersed in water, and come in contact with the saving blood of Jesus, where your sins are forgiven by His blood shed on the cross, we want you to come to Christ in faith and repentance to be baptized into Him. God's love endures forever. There's no question about God's enduring love. The only question is, will my love for Him endure forever? Let it and allow it by submitting yourself to Him. Let's stand together and let's sing.